welcome to Courtside, the official England netball podcast. I'm Lindsay Chapman. I'm a presenter and international netball commentator. If you missed the last series in the run-up to the Commonwealth Games, then one, where were you? And two, I've got a treat for you, as they're all available to catch up right now. Just search Courtside wherever you get your podcasts. Gosh, there's just so much netball news to discuss, isn't there? I really hope that you've been enjoying the twists and turns as we get to the business end of the Netball Super League. And just how excited are you for the World Cup? Especially now Jess Thirlby has announced the 12 players and three travelling reserves who'll be going to South Africa at the end of July. My news is that since the last series of Courtside, I've been away having a baby, which is really exciting. She's a little girl called Cordelia, or Cora, and I'm pretty sure she's going to be a centre because she likes to put her little sticky beak into everything. She wants to know what's going on all the time. And that's pretty apt for this special edition of Courtside, because England Netball has just launched an industry-leading education programme called Netball Her that aims to look at female health right across the whole of the game. Things that affect women from 5 to 95, you know, like periods, pregnancy, sports bras, the menopause and so much more. I think some of this stuff really doesn't get talked about enough. So Netball Her is all about building a base where you can go and find out more. I've got a selection of guests on the pod who are going to open up the conversation on a variety of topics. Former Roses defender Ebony Azura Brown joins me to talk elite sport and motherhood. Roses Academy player Daisy Lee speaks about painful periods. And I get a real insight into the menopause with grassroots coach Yvonne Roden. To find out more about the programme itself, though, I'm really pleased to welcome Netball Her Executive Lead and Director of Development, Kelly Gordon, to the show. Welcome to Courtside.
Hello, nice to see you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, really brilliant to see you. Kelly, what in particular excites you about the initiative? Tell me more about it.
Okay, gosh, where to start? Shall I start there? The start. When we basically developed our 10-year strategy, and one of the big things on the strategy is to be a game for life for women from girls from 5 to 95. So what we really wanted to understand was what that actually meant. And so we did a deep dive into when women stay in the game, how women drop out the game, and we found some really hard-hitting facts that we need to do something about. So if I just sort of share some of those with you. So one of the biggies for us is that 41% of teenage girls take a break or drop out of netball completely. So 41%. And, you know, sadly, that is common across sport. And so we need to do something to support those teenage girls. And when you look at that more deeply, a lot of that's got to do with body image, how they're basically feeling about themselves, boobs the first time, start of their periods. And they just feel uncomfortable engaging in sport and don't know how to engage in sport, don't know whether to wear a sports bra or not, and those types of things.
Is that in that sort of secondary school period, or is it when they leave school and there isn't a team for them to go to?
No, so really when, and it can even start primary school age, you know, with starting their periods and body changing. And, you know, we found from a netball perspective that just not, you know, turning up to a game and then being caught short and not knowing what to do and not having period products on them, through to, you know, like I say, not knowing even to wear a sports bra. So, you know, a lot of girls turn up to netball and just haven't had the education around the importance of wearing a sports bra, for example. So, there's limited education in school, sadly, still. So, yeah, it starts at secondary school or potentially end of primary school age. So that the teenage girl piece was really, really important. And then in terms of sort of across life stages, 69% of women take a break from playing netball at some point in their lives. And as you all know, Lindsay, pregnancy, returning to play after pregnancy is huge. 20% of netballers don't return to netball after pregnancy. And that's really sad.
It's really sad.
Really sad.
It's really sad because that's probably been a big part of their life beforehand. It certainly was for me, you know, not just in terms of exercise, but seeing my friends as well, you know, and that connection. And when you become a mum, it can be quite a lonely time. And depending on your journey and what's happened to you, you know, whether you can go back. And I was confident. Yeah. And, you know, even someone like me, I want to go back. But when I do, I know I'm going to feel nervous about it.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely it. That connection of that sense of belonging to, you know, that's what netball gives a lot of women, isn't it? That sense of belonging. And, you know, you miss that when you're not playing. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that we help women come back on into the game. And when you talk to women that have not returned to the game post-pregnancy, it is to do exactly what you just said, not necessarily knowing how to or feeling confident to, but also not know whether their body's ready to. You know, the whole pelvic floor, and we had lots of stories around, you know, oh gosh, I can't go back to netball and start jumping around because that's not going to go down too well. So just having that education around their body when they're ready to go back to netball, but knowing, really importantly, knowing that they can go back to netball and be supported. So be supported by the coach. You can go, you know, welcome back, amazing you've got a baby, let's just talk about where you're at with your body, and let's make sure we build into some of the warm-ups and cool-downs, stuff around your pelvic floor. You know, even just that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I'm nodding away, aren't I? Because that would be amazing. I don't know enough. I had a C-section and I don't know when my body will be strong enough. You know, I asked in the hospital and they looked at me like I was mad, because on the day I had my baby, I said, when can I play netball again? They said, oh, well, you can drive in 6 weeks. So 6 weeks, no way at 6 weeks, you know, with having the operation, no way I could do that. You know, and I think we really just don't know much about women's health in general. So why now? Why have you put this together now?
Yeah. So we have programs, amazing back to netball program, walking netball programs, clubs, leagues that engage women and girls at all of those from 5 to 95, as I said. But what we don't do, or haven't done, but now we are, is supporting them both on the court with their body and beyond the court. So it's just time for us to do that. Like, we're an unapologetic, focused female sport. We're the only sport that can say that. So we should be the support that's doing this and supporting those women and girls. So the time is right for us as a sport. We want to be leading the way in that as well. And there's a big thing for us around it being our strategy and being unapologetic, focus on women and girls. But also, we want to be seen as a sport that can change the system for women and girls. So it should be netball that should be leading the way. And we want to work with other sports and other organisations to do that. So there's sort of two sides to it for us. It's very much around us supporting netball and netballers. That's the primary motive for us to do it. But we also have a role to play in female sport and being the lead female sport in the sector. And sadly, the sports system is not set up for all the things we've just said there, and it's not set up to support women and girls.
I'm not totally sure that society is set up to support women and girls either. You live and you learn, don't you? But these steps are very important. And what you're saying about netball, you know, I really am smiling, I'm beaming, because this needs to happen. I want to know, though, how are you actually connecting with those women and those girls? Because there's the website, which is great, but the how, I think, is always really important.
Yeah. So we've had such amazing stories. It makes me smile every day, because on different social channels, we'll see all sorts of stories. So there's the website, as you said. So netballher.co.uk has got loads of information on there. We've tried to make it, we call it Grazia level. So it's built by the Well HQ, so built by experts and sort of their medical background. And it covers all life stages. So there's lots of information on there brought to life by real netballers. And I think you've got Yvonne on this podcast and Daisy, actually. And they both share their stories on the website. So it's very informative, but written by experts. But then what we're then finding then is that coaches are going on to the website, getting the information, and then applying that information in their netball environment. So we've had great stories of, I just said one before, around pelvic floor exercises in warm-ups and cool-downs. So I've seen some lovely pictures on social media of them just, you know, talking about and having a giggle about building in pelvic floor exercises. We've had examples of court short kits, so period products being put into kit bags. We've given all of our delivery staff, so our netball development officers and netball development coaches, court short kits, so period products to go into their kit bags. There's downloadable infographics that have been given out in clubs. So we've got lots of examples of how the website content has been implemented in a netball environment. But we're also just about to launch our learning offer for our coaches. So that's basically free online learning for all of England Netball members. So it's free, but it's locked down just to members. And basically, it covers all life stages. So a coach goes online, bite-sized learning. So it's very much try to be sort of real in terms of woman's life. So it's sort of 5 to 10 minutes long, go in there, learn about the menstrual cycle, and then they can then take that and apply it into their netball environment. So there's sort of two sides of the websites, but then there's also the sort of online virtual learning as well.
Oh, well, you know, I think it's really, really exciting. And out there, you know, if you're listening, ladies, I was holding my pelvic floor right through that. As soon as you said it, I thought, oh, I haven't done anything today. So I'm clenching my pelvic floor. If you don't know where those muscles are, go to netballher.co.uk and have a little look.
Yeah.
So Netball Her is all about empowering women to deal with the changes their bodies experience as they move through the stages of life. This time on Courtside, we're talking all about periods. You might have just started your period, you may not have had one yet, or you could have been having periods for years or stopped because you're pregnant. Well, perhaps you're going through the menopause. Whatever stage you're at, whether you have light or heavy periods, painful or irregular ones, I'm going to open up that conversation. And I'm going to do that firstly by talking to Rosie's Academy player, Daisy Lees. Daisy, welcome to Courtside.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Is this the first podcast you've ever done?
Yes, it is.
Well, there you go. We have done it. You're on and you're speaking. I can hear you beautifully. It's been a special day for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, just finished school last day.
To start your GCSE revision or hopefully continue your GCSE revision.
Yes, definitely continue.
Which is quite an emotional day. It's an emotional day. How are you feeling?
Very weird.
Well, it's lovely to have you on Courtside. You're 16 years old and if I'm right, you get really bad period pains. Is that right?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, poor you. I mean, you know, it's bad at the beginning of my one, but it sort of goes away. Mm. I mean, how bad is bad?
Well, I mean, sometimes they even have to stay off school. It's that bad. It's sometimes like hard to even get out of bed.
Really?
Yeah. I just feel like someone's stabbing me in the stomach, really. And then I also like feel quite like sick and I'm always like really hot. I always have to have like windows open. But it's just like a constant pain reminding me it's there.
I mean, that sounds awful. Is there anything that you can do to make it a little bit better apart from opening the windows? Do you have a hot water bottle or anything like that?
Yeah, I often carry around a hot water bottle that ties around my waist. And then I take all the usual paracetamol, ibuprofen, but still it's not really calming it down.
And how long does it last?
It tends to last about 5 days-ish, but it's normally only bad for the first three.
That's really nasty. And is that every period that you have?
Yeah, most of them. If you're lucky, you get the odd one off.
Wow. And you play for the Roses Academy. So how does that affect your netball playing, your training and your playing of games?
Well, I always find it's like when I know that I'm going to have it, I always find it's best to start taking like paracetamol early and start doing like, so I take some magnesium supplements when I know I'm about to go on it, because I had a talk by the Well HQ which told me that I tend to start like not eating better but eating like anti-inflammatories. So that tends to help a bit. And I just make sure I'm like well rested and drinking well, because I find that drinking lots of water tends to help.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about it, because there's enough pressure, isn't there, before a game or if you're training, but you've got this whole other thing that happens to you every month that you've got to think about. Do you think it impacts your performance because you're in the Roses Academy, you obviously want to do well, you want to keep going with your netball? How do you think it impacts your performance?
With me, I tend to tell my coaches beforehand, because obviously I get a bit ill with it, you know, I feel sick. So I want to make sure that they know that I'm not just having a bad day. But I think it does impact your performance to a certain extent, because obviously, you know, it's different for every person, because some people might not feel as pain and some people might feel pain. But for me, I tend to, once I start running, it tends to be fine. And also as well, if I take like, you know, if I start taking my paracetamol early, if I'm eating those anti-inflammatories, if I'm drinking well, it doesn't tend to affect my performance.
They're all really good tips. And if anyone is experiencing, you know, period pains, playing netball or otherwise, they're all really good tips from you. Do you talk to your teammates about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of times where I've forgotten pads or tampons at training where I've had to go over and go, oh, do you have one? But it's not the biggest conversation that we have. It's more of a, you know, oh, I'm dying of pain over here, or
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? It's something that sort of pops up with your friends and you might talk about it for a bit, but it's not sort of always a deep and meaningful. I do think it's really important to open up the conversation, though, and show that different people have different experiences. How do you think we can do that in the netball world?
I think it starts with opening up to your coaches and making sure that everybody is feeling comfortable, because it's a normal thing. It's not just a thing that one person experiences. Everyone gets it. So I think it's starting with coaches, you know, keeping them informed on when you're on. And like, for example, if I forgot a pad, I feel comfortable going up and having that conversation with them instead of feeling awkward and saying nothing. And I think once we normalise the subject, then it becomes normal.
Well, do you know what? That's absolutely brilliant, because I was going to say, do you feel embarrassed or annoyed or nervous? But you've just said actually getting it out there and telling your coaches, telling your friends, it actually makes the problem less. It's better.
Definitely.
Well, that's great to hear. And honestly, it's brilliant to have you on and for this to be your first podcast experience. Have you been all right?
Yeah, it's been brilliant.
on such a subject that can be quite closed as well. So yeah. I think you've done brilliantly and I'm going to keep my eyes on you in the future. I should, of course, though, say good luck. Good luck for your exams.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant talking to you. Thank you so much, Daisy.
Thank you for having me.
So there was Daisy Kelly, and she was very articulate about her periods and very open.
Yeah, she speaks so lovely, isn't it? Actually, what's really interesting about Daisy is that we did an Instagram live, and Daisy was the most viewed of all the videos we've had. And I think that's something to do with the demographics of Instagram live, but just also just because she speaks so openly and shares a story. So it's just an example of how important it is to have those, to be able to have those conversations, and also for the coaches to be able to have those conversations with particularly young girls, you know?
Yeah, that's what you were saying before, wasn't it? That it's opening that dialogue with your teammates, but also with your coaches and having that support in place.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. Well, hugely excited to say that joining me next on the podcast is someone that knows all about women's health in netball and the many changes you can go through. With an elite career spanning over 17 years, she's one of the most decorated England roses. She's played Super League here in the UK and overseas, as well as medalling at Commonwealth Games and Netball World Cup, most notably securing gold at the 2018 Commonwealth Games. Not only that, but she's also returned to the game after becoming a mum. Ebony Azura Brown, welcome back to Courtside.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and congratulations on baby Cora.
Thank you very much. It's a roller coaster, isn't it? Everyone said it's a roller coaster.
I'm 10 years in. I'm still learning, and there's still no manual.
No, please give me the manual.
I know.
Somebody
right?
give me the sleep manual. We did speak to you. I say welcome back because we spoke to you about your career in Series One, but this time we're talking more really about your sort of personal life. Obviously, you've retired now from the roses, and we want to look at your journey through netball as a woman and also as a mum to Savannah. And I think question one is, how do you fit it all in, you know, particularly when you were playing elite netball as well?
It's so bizarre, actually, because now that I'm retired, I do look back and reflect, and sometimes it does amaze me sometimes that we just got it done. But I say we in the sense that without a support network in and around me, it just wouldn't have been possible. Like, I think the support from England Netball in terms of their understanding as to where I was and what my ambitions were, like on and off the court, not only for my netball career, but I guess my career outside of netball as well. And providing that support, I think Team Bath at the time when I was there, but even the clubs, the international clubs that I played for, I think I was always upfront in terms of what I wanted to achieve and what my ambitions were. And I think by having those conversations early on and setting out what it is that I want to do really, really benefited. But ultimately, it was the family support, the friends and family support behind me, because there are some days you wake up and you're just like, I just don't know how we're going to get everything done. But I think in terms of just the encouragement, the picking you up when you're kind of low, but also the celebrating those achievements, I think really did keep me going all the way through those 17 years and even hereafter.
And you moved out to Australia, you took your mum with you, she wanted to know how many suitcases she could pack.
I think, as I said in the first series, it was such a surprise when that Firebirds opportunity came up, and one that I really grappled with, having been at Bath and captaining the side for the the 5 years since returning from my first in Australia. But yeah, mum said she was fully on board with the ambitions of hopefully playing at Commonwealth Games, but also just to give my daughter those experiences of living in Australia. It was one I couldn't really pass up, and I feel so much richer and grateful and fortunate to have had that experience.
Let me take you back a little bit, because in elite sport, I guess it's a huge choice in the first place whether to have a baby or maybe to wait to reach your full elite potential, or, you know, even to have a baby at all in pursuit of that dream. And no doubt there are athletes that can't conceive and would very much like to do so. You know, was it a big decision for you, and did it come at a certain time? Did you know the time was right?
I think we definitely did know the time was right. Obviously, we had the spectacular win in 2018 in terms of winning gold. And I definitely knew that I wanted to play in the World Cup, given that I was at home in Liverpool in 2019. And as we know, netball's not an Olympic sport. So the 4 year cycle began again. And I was fortunate to get married in the October 2018. And my husband and I had always said that we wanted to start a family at some point in time. So having completed Commonwealth Games and the World Cup, I do remember just feeling exhausted, like I needed a break and I needed some time away from netball. That didn't necessarily inform my decision for us to start family planning right then and there. But given that it was the first year of a new 4 year cycle, it seemed really opportunistic. I remember coming off the pill probably in the March, April of 2019, so just before World Cup. Having been on the contraceptive pill for nearly 15 years. So I'd always had stories that you kind of probably need to get your body to regulate its cycle to give you the best opportunity in order which to conceive. And it was probably, my husband's in the RAF, so he went on tour after World Cup. So didn't really give us that much of a opportunity to practice, if you want to put it in that sense of the word. But when we came back in the November, December, we decided, okay, this is the time we're going to try and think about starting our family. And luckily we fell pregnant in that December, and Savannah was born in August of 2020.
And massive congratulations, by the way, to you as well. It is really wonderful. How long after having her did you leave before you came back to netball?
So I think I signed my contract to play with Team Bath whilst I was pregnant. I knew that I really did want to come back. It was an interesting period of time, obviously, because whilst I was pregnant, the league got suspended because of the global pandemic. So the league ended up not actually going ahead at all. And well, for a number of, I think it was 4 or 5 rounds before it got suspended. So I didn't necessarily felt like I missed out in one sense from being on the netball court. But it was also during that time that I made that decision. If the world looked different the following year, I did want to play netball and I wanted to come back. So I remember having Savannah in the August 2020 and having a real honest conversation with Anna Stembridge, who was the Team Bath coach at the time, just saying, this again, these are what my ambitions are. And she was wholly supportive of me wanting to come back to play netball, but there was no pressure on it either. So she said, you don't necessarily know what your birth plan is going to look like. It's obviously a massive trauma to the body. And obviously, it's the first time I'd ever gone through that type of experience. So as an elite athlete, you go through not only mental changes in preparation of becoming a mother, but in terms of the physical changes that would obviously happen to my body. So after having Savannah, it was probably about 5 weeks after giving birth, I was lucky to have a natural birth with minimal complications. So I'm one of the lucky ones with a positive birth story.
And we'll say that's a natural birth is a vaginal birth, because I had a C-section, which I also count as a natural birth, but a C-section. And that was 6.5 months ago. I cannot play netball.
Still, yeah.
So my C-section hasn't recovered enough for me to get back on court. And that has had a very, I would say, detrimental actually effect on my mental health. So the fact that you were able to do that in a way was lucky.
100%. That's why I say I think I consider myself really fortunate that it was like a really positive experience, because as you say, I know it's not always the case. For me, it was more, I think about 4 or 5 weeks after giving birth to Savannah, I just felt ready just to start walking. And it was a very gentle process. It wasn't like, okay, I've just given birth, put my netball shoes on and I'm back on the court. It was slow. It was gradual. It was purposeful, in the sense that I had a pelvic floor health consultant also help manage my program back to the court, which who was invaluable at the time. So yeah, it was slow and steady, but I think it really paid dividends, not only for that season, but thereafter.
Can I ask if you were breastfeeding?
I was. But I think for me, though, I think the thing I found the most surprising was you do all the antenatal classes and they're really blasé, in my opinion, about, oh, your breastfeed or your formula feed. And then they don't really tell you like how challenging it is. I remember obviously giving birth to Savannah, and I think day three came in when my milk came in. And my boobs were like watermelons. They were like, I've never experienced anything like it. I remember walking into the room and like my husband JK just being like, oh my goodness. Like, it was such a interesting period of time. Obviously your body has all of those changes and the emotional impact that goes with it. But I think it was also hard because I was having real challenges with the latch with Savannah. And okay. I remember, as with many women, just feeling a bit inadequate at times, because I think it's the one thing that's meant to, again, feel a bit natural to do. But I was really struggling. And I think for me as an elite athlete who's always so goal orientated and you practice and you perfect, it was something that I really struggled to kind of get my head around. So for me, it ended up that breastfeeding never really worked for us. However, I expressed for 6 months. So Savannah was bottle fed, but as you will know, and you'll know, it's still very mentally and emotionally draining in terms of the expressing and time consuming. And
time consuming, that's what I was going to say. The time that goes into that is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is a real process. And I think that's the one thing I probably wish I had known more or had expected more prior to giving birth. And I think when teammates are asking me about what's it going to be like once they have their babies, or friends ask me, that's one of the things I really try to hone in terms of every journey's different, but as long as you have a fed baby, that's the best type of baby.
Absolutely. And you've stolen one of my questions there, because I was going to say, you know, it is both a mental and a physical change. And was there anything that challenged you or that you weren't expecting? But I guess keeping that question, because breastfeeding you've mentioned already, but in the move back to netball and back to playing again, was there anything that sort of caught you off guard?
The biggest thing was the first time I stepped back in the gym. Like I said, Bath and Anna in particular really championed me having a pelvic floor health consultant. And I still thought that I still have underlying muscle and I'd still be as strong as I was before getting pregnant, because I was so active during my pregnancy. So I actually felt quite fit and healthy. But I remember the first session of going back into the gym to complete my strength and conditioning program. And I couldn't hardly do anything, which was used to have been second nature to me in terms of pull-ups or press-ups or like lunges. It was such a struggle. I was off balance. I was obviously carrying more weight than I'd had before. And the struggle there was just trying to keep that mental clarity as to why I was there, what the purpose was, and what the end goal was, and what the short term and the mid and the medium term goals were within that long term ambition. And there were some days where you just like, again, just you're tired, you're trying to breast or express, you're trying to learn and grow with your new baby, you're trying to still figure out what your identity is. And then on top of that, you're trying to add on, trying to be an elite athlete again. And there were times where I kind of felt like an imposter. But I think it was with, again, that what I said right at the beginning, is that support networking around you, which really helped me get through those early days, and just having that trust and belief that not only myself, but actually the long-term plan would be achievable.
And you've mentioned England Netball already and the support that was there, and your family support, very important as well. By the way, I should just mention that if you have had a C-section, you still need to work on your pelvic floor, because it does change during pregnancy. Yeah. So that is something. And I know we spoke about that on the last series, and you sort of said, if there's one piece of advice, think about those muscles, you know, if you want to go back to court, and you had a specialist helping you do that. What do you feel is the main difference in your netball life after having a baby?
The main difference, I would probably say, when I was playing, I used to be obsessional about performance and winning and losing and being better than the last game, and just having that drive. I had white line fever. I had that I don't know, that grit. But then I think after having a child, like I still had those thoughts, feelings and emotions and desires. But so that I didn't really care if we'd won or lost the game. My priorities and my values, I guess, shifted a little bit. My focus was diluted in one sense. So I still cared, but it was, there was a bigger picture for me. Whereas netball had been my, like, my real love. Whereas now it was one of my loves rather than just a sole love.
Which is a wonderful thing to hear, because I think certainly, you know, making the decision and then being able to have a baby, you do think, how is my life going to continue? What will it look like? Yeah. And will my passion still be there? Will I still be there? You know, and we can, to us watching, we see Ebony Azura Brown, you know, but you've got so much going on inside you and all the decisions that you've made that have got you to that point. I guess, how does training now fit in with family time? How do you balance? Because I know that you're still training. You're not playing elite anymore, but you're still doing that work. You know, I don't know whether you want to come and play on my team, grassroots level. Please, that would be brilliant. I'm not there at the moment. You can play centre.
To be fair, it's being active. I think when you've done it so long, you can't just completely stop. The workouts definitely look different. And I think that's, one of the things I had to really battle with after I did retire. Like, I'd go to the gym and I was like, Ebony, you don't have to do a sprint and a HIIT session in order to feel good. The fact that I was just moving my body and being active was good enough. There was no performance goal which I needed to strive for. And I think that switch in mentality definitely took a couple of months in order to, like, adapt. But however, I think what's been great is just that I've been able to do a lot more variety of activities, whereas probably constricted before because of my performance objectives. So in terms of walking and swimming and skiing and all those different things that I probably didn't do or neglected whilst I was playing. So being active is just so important for me, not only from a physical health, but the mental health as well. I think off the court, I'm a lawyer and it is the area I practice is commercial litigation. So it's quite a stressful and contentious area of law. So sometimes I know I just need to go out and be active and get my body moving just to have that release, that stress release. So I think it just has so many added benefits.
And that is the thing that I am really missing at the moment. I suddenly realised how important netball was in my life in terms of my own sort of mental well-being.
Yeah.
You know, I need to elbow another lady in the ribs on a Tuesday night. It needs to happen. And I think that you've said something really important there, which was give yourself time to adapt, because it is such a huge, huge change. And you'd got that drive and wonderful to hear that those things come back as well and that you want to be there doing it, but just allow that time, because it is trauma and it is huge. Last question that I got for you, you always talk so brilliantly and you've sort of touched on this already, but what would be the one piece of advice you'd pass on to other mums or those who are considering having a baby when it comes to something that they love, their job or their sport? What's the one piece of advice you'd give them?
The one piece of advice I'd probably give them is that just because you've become a mother, it doesn't mean it's the end of you in terms of your identity, your ambitions and your goals. I think it's really important, first and foremost, to say, but enjoy becoming a new mother, because I think, without sounding too cliche, the days are long, but the years are really short in terms of that time where you get to bond with your baby and you never really get that time back. But in the same breath, it's also really important to look after you, because the more you can look after you, develop your own goals and reestablish what your identity looks like with this additional role, means that you're actually going to be the best person for yourself, your child, your family, your community in which you operate in. So I think having a baby actually just gives you added incentive to pursue your goals, just with, I guess, a more broader perspective and, I guess, a big reason or a larger reason as to why. Like, Savannah has always been my why. Why am I doing it? And what do I want to show her? But also, what do I want to prove to myself? So that's probably the message I'd probably give any new mother.
Well, that's very touching. And I will take a little bit of that for myself. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. It always is. Thank you so much for joining me on Courtside and being so open and honest.
No worries. Thank you.
And congratulations to Ebony and her family as they've announced they're expecting once again. Exciting times and some really interesting stuff there from her. I know that she had Savannah in camp with her in preparation for Commonwealth Games. So she mentioned support, how important that was, and also talked about pelvic health.
Yeah, before when we were talking about netball hurt, we sort of probably more focused on the grassroots end. But actually, we do a massive amount to support the Roses as well. So that, you know, Ebony's story is amazing. And it's really, really important that we do support the athletes with their female health to help them return to court, but also to support them to get the, you know, there's definite performance gains in understanding your female health. So yeah, there's a lot of focus in the Roses around supporting them as athletes, but also supporting them with their female health.
It's really, really important. My next guest on Courtside is Yvonne Roden, who is a grassroots netballer and coach. And I've just noticed, Yvonne, that it says Yvonne Roden MBE on your screen.
Yes.
That's cool. What did you get your MBE for?
I was a police officer in my former life. So someone thought I did a good job and gave me a gong.
Wow. Well, look, there's a whole other podcast there, so we'll make that one another time. But we're going to talk about netball and coaching. Where do you coach?
So I work for England Netball, and my primary role is netball development community coach. And I coach in some of the most diverse boroughs in London, in Tower Hamlets, Hackney, Camden and Islington. So we have lots of areas of deprivation, lots of diversity, and a really wide range of communities. So it's my job to go out and reintroduce them to the game of netball.
The wonderful world of netball. And if it's not too cheeky to ask, Yvonne, can I ask how old you are?
I was 60 in September last year. So yeah, proudly so, 60 years young.
Congratulations on 60. And we're talking in this episode, we're opening up conversations. Netball Her is all about helping women move through the changes that their bodies go through during their lives. Talk to me about the menopause. Have you been through the menopause by 60? I think it's probably 45 to sort of 55 is the window for going through the menopause.
Yeah, I was perimenopausal probably in my mid to late 40s. And then moves through. And I think menopause is a thing where I always thought it just happened, you know, a year or so and it was over. What I've noticed from a personal perspective is that some of the symptoms can come in and out.
And what kind of symptoms do you get?
When I was perimenopausal and going through that transition to menopause, I had the traditional hot flushes, the hormonal sort of flushes, things like itchiness, which is really weird. I think kind of psychologically, some of the things that come in and out, particularly when I relate to my coaching, is things like brain fog. It really is a thing that, you know, I'll be perfectly fine having a conversation. I'm an experienced coach, know what I'm doing, and all of a sudden it will suddenly go. And I have to have a moment or two where I kind of go, okay, yeah, it's coming and it's back. So brain fog is definitely a real thing.
Wow, that's amazing. And I can identify with that a little bit because I had a baby 6 months ago. So, you know, my brain is just not with me all the time at the moment. But it's good of you to open up and say that. That's also a little bit frightening. You sort of think, gosh, you think you go through the menopause, you have to have that unpleasant experience, but it finishes and then, you know, you're in the sort of next stage of your life. But you're saying that's not true. There are things that come and go.
Yeah, there are. And I recognise that. You know, we are all different in the way that we experience menopause. I mean, it's quite interesting for me at this time that myself and my two younger sisters, there's like 2 years and 5 years between us, we're all in that mid-50s to 60 range, and we're all experiencing it in very different ways. It strikes me that although there's a lot of information when you're younger about your periods and how your body will change and stuff, I really kind of had to feel my way through menopause. There wasn't really a lot out there, which is why Netball Her is so important that we're starting to open up the conversation, because really it's been just stumbling along and discovering things or not discovering things. I mean, I think a great example is things like HRT, because there is so much scaremongering information.
What is HRT, just so people know what you're talking about?
Hormone replacement therapy. So obviously where you experience a loss of hormones as things kind of start to peter out in terms of your hormones, you can experience, you know, these hormone imbalances, which can affect your physical health, your moods. But it wasn't something that I was introduced to, actually, and thought it was for me until I was on a web chat with Dr. Bella from Netball Her. And she said, have you ever considered HRT? And I said, no, I didn't know I could. I thought I was past the time where it would be useful. And she said, no. So I immediately went to my GP.
That's fascinating, because you think the menopause is just stopping having your periods, but actually it isn't. It's all about these chemicals that are moving around your body, these hormones that have such a huge impact on your day-to-day life. And there you are at the glorious age of 60, learning that actually there might be some help out there for you. Is there anything else that helps?
I think it is being able to have conversations about it now. I find it really fascinating that now there seems to be this whole world opened up around conversations around menopause, you know, from Davina McCall to the content that's there on Netball Her. It feels far more open to be able to discuss it. I've discussed it with colleagues at England Netball about how that affects them, perhaps in their coaching. I regularly have conversations with my participants that are going through menopause. And it's been really refreshing to be able to actually speak openly about it.
That is really good. And I think one of my other questions was, you know, can people play netball after the menopause? Is there anything that happens to your muscles, to your body, that makes it feel different? Can you still get on court?
Yeah, absolutely. You can still get on court. And I've had participants as young as in their teens, but I've also got participants in walking netball, which is obviously a gentler, slower version of the game, up to sort of 80 plus. So there's definitely life after the menopausal period, and it's just about what suits you. Some women can continue to play netball, the standard netball game, into their 60s as well, and they should be encouraged to do so. If not, we have a program in walking netball that they can continue with the game that they love, albeit at a slower pace with some adaptations, just to recognise that perhaps there might be a loss of balance or stability. And so those conditions are put in there to help women to continue to enjoy netball.
That is brilliant. And, you know, exercise is good for us anyway, mind and body. And it's great to know that that can continue. As women, I do feel like we go through an awful lot. You know, you've got your periods when you're younger, which may be painful or embarrassing. And then, you know, carrying a baby, moving through motherhood, if you do that, if you don't do that. And then there's the menopause as well. What's the one piece of advice that you would offer as you look back over those changes?
Talk about it. Don't make it a dirty word. Things like periods, for example, and Netball Her did a brilliant campaign recently about not using euphemisms for menstruation or periods. Talk about it. It's part of, hopefully, every woman will experience it. So talk about it. And then once we've talked about it, make sure, certainly I as a coach have a responsibility to make sure that there are products and information. And you're able to approach a coach. And I've had it when I've coached, you know, at club level, you know, there'll be a 13-year-old that'll sidle up to me and say, coach, have you got anything? You know, I need to change. And that's great that she felt able to come and speak to me like that. And it's important that we have more conversations like that. You know, we are really fortunate to be able to go through the different life stages and experience these different things as we go through life. And it is important to be able to be open about these things.
That is exactly what Daisy Lee said as well, our younger guest, talking about periods. She said, you know, it's much better if we just get rid of any preconceptions or stigma around it, you know, and try and open it up and say, actually, I'm on my period. It really hurts. Can I change? Or can I take 5 minutes? You know, whatever it might be. And that applies to the stages that you're talking about as well. I'm sure no one notices, you know, when you have your brain fog, but you will feel that. And that is really unpleasant, you know, as you are coaching on on the sideline. Thank you so much for talking to me. You've been really open and honest with me here on Courtside. Lovely chatting to you.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
I really enjoyed talking to Yvonne, and there was so much that I didn't know about the menopause. And I thought, gosh, this is, you know, the next stage for me. And I know nothing about it. And she was so open and bubbly. And I think what I really liked was that she said women can experience these things. You know, it's not a negative thing, although some of the side effects don't sound great. You know, it's about celebrating being women.
Yeah. And I think the one, it's just talking about it to start with, isn't it? And I think Yvonne does a great job of just making people feel that they can talk about it and it's okay to talk about. You know, that menopause and other things are still quite taboo, even though it's, you know, got quite a lot of media coverage at the moment. Yeah, almost trying to embrace it, which I know is easier definitely said than done. But on the website, again, there's a brilliant infographic on there that really explains the what menopause is, what HRT is, the different symptoms of menopause, which is a really long list. Scared the living daylights out of me. So yeah, I think it's, again, just having that understanding, being able to talk about it, really important, and then being able to sort of that, going back to that sense of belonging again, being in a group of women where you can just talk about this stuff in a safe place. And Yvonne talks about that really well.
Yeah, she certainly did. And so do you. Thank you so much for talking to me on Courtside. It's been lovely to have you on, Kelly.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Just a taster of what Netball Her is all about. And I personally can't wait for more. And I think it's really exciting and really important to have access to this kind of information all in one place. Everyone is welcome. Women, men as well. Go and take a look at netballher.co.uk. I'm really looking forward to seeing you next time on the pod. In the meantime, why not make us a favourite wherever you get your podcasts? And as we hurtle towards the World Cup, I'll be bringing you the very latest from the Roses camp. I cannot wait. Until next time then, I'll see you courtside.